Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Lay. Sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up, the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. We are back from the winter break to get going in the 2022 PGA season, which means we are off to Hawaii. Make sure you check out the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. If you can give it a rate and review on iTunes or Spotify, that'd be great. Or check us out on the Sports Degens YouTube channel. Give you a little thumbs up there. You can find myself on Twitter at BDentric, as always, and my co-host for another year-long endeavor of PGA action on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Oh, doing well, dude. How are you?
I'm doing. It was fun to catch up for a bit there, talking about the football world since golf's been kind of MIA. But I guess we didn't talk about it beforehand, surprisingly. But any thoughts on Tiger?
Dude, that was fun. I don't know really what else to say about it. That was a good time to watch him and his son play and tear it up. And yeah, I mean, that kind of got me pumped again for golf season.
Yeah, that was the beauty of it. It's like it wasn't even really a tournament that meant anything. It just shows the power of Tiger, I guess. How he didn't win the PIP compared to Phil, I have no idea. But how Max Homa doesn't win, the PIP is rigged is the way I look at it. That's just garbage to me. Like, give us the entertainment, guys, but that's a whole other discussion that probably many people have had on their shows. But, it was fun to see Tiger. You could tell, though, watching him towards the end there, I don't think he's ready for four full rounds yet, but I ain't going to count him out once he said he's ready. That's for sure.
I mean, we've heard plenty by now, but I do think he kind of downplayed what kind of shape he was in. He was, in my opinion, in at least good enough shape to obviously go out there and play two rounds. Yeah. So just a little bit more conditioning and probably some work. And, you know, with him, I don't see how he doesn't make it back. At least, I think he'll play before the Masters, but yeah. I think he plays the Masters. I mean, I know it's going to be a difficult walk, but it's the Masters. Yeah. And it's Tiger Woods, so
yeah, he's playing the Masters.
Yeah,
100% with you on that one. The fun one is, when do we see Charlie? I know he's probably not until he's 18, but I don't think he's going to be much past 18 because that kid is freaking. He's got ice in his veins, making some of those shots he made. It's crazy.
Now, Bubba, he's only like the 70th ranked player, 12-year-old in Florida.
He would whoop my 16 handicap.
We just need to go ahead and just hold our horses on that. Yeah, I mean,
it was crazy. You know,
he's gonna go. I think he'll go to college.
Yeah.
For at least a year or two. I think, you know, Tiger will highly recommend that. And I hope he does, and I hope he kind of gets the full experience of being a college athlete and that kind of thing, and being a little bit normal before. Yeah, I mean, I hope he makes it, man. I mean, the kid right now. Obviously, things could change drastically, but has got it as far as ice in his veins, just like his dad did.
I just love the composure and the shots he'd make under pressure.
Amazing, like,
it was insane. Like, I couldn't even. I just try to hit the green half the time. This dude's pin seeking from God knows where. It was fun to watch, but I'm assuming most people caught that stuff and enjoyed it during the downtime. That was about it. There was a little CBE challenge deal, which was I didn't watch pretty much any of. So that happened. Other than that, it's off to Hawaii, Jesse.
Yep.
We are off to Hawaii for the Century TOC, which will have 39 golfers out of the 40. Rory's not coming because Rory doesn't come usually. Overall, though, I think it's a pretty strong field compared to usual. It feels like most of the big guys kind of hide. They're here. But before we get into the course preview and your DraftKings picks, as this will be a quickie for you this week, what do you got for past event history?
Yeah, last year, Harris English, 25 under, playoff over Joaquin Niemann. The year before that, JT won his second title here, 14 under, playoff over Patrick Reed and Xander. 2019 was Xander winning 23 under, one shot over Gary Woodland. 2018 was DJ. Speaking of which, he's not in the field, right? I mean, he's not playing.
No, but did he even win last year?
I was thinking.
I don't think he did because I heard it was 40 people and 39 of the 40 are here. And
Rory's the only one.
Yeah. So I it was funny because didn't he have the record for like so many straight years of winning at least one tournament? I don't think he won last year.
It was like fucking shit ton in a row, at least 10, I think, that he won, but maybe he didn't have a win.
He's winning off the Saudi International. He's winning off the course. If you watch social media, he's winning off the course, though.
I mean, the only thing on his Wikipedia page was he won the Saudi International for the second time.
That's right.
And then...
So nothing on the PGA.
Yeah. Thus, I guess that's why he's not here.
Thus no Hawaii.
DJ, 24 under, 8 shots over John Rahm. JT won his first of two titles in 2017. Past winners in the field this week, Spieth, Reed, and that's it.
Real quick in the chat here, Dominic, welcome back. He says, aloha, gentlemen, but it's good to have Dom back. Dom's
one of the
big-time contributors, so good to have you back as well, friendo. Let's do a little course preview for you guys. Kapalua, awesome golf course, fun golf course. I think I talked about it last year. I had a friend play it a couple years ago before COVID when you could actually really go to Hawaii and have some fun. But par 73, a little less than 7,600 yards, 3 par 3s, 11 par 4s, 4 par 5s, which is why it is a 73 par instead of a 72. Bermuda greens, they are slow because usually they're concerned about the wind and whatnot, so you'll get that with a lot of ocean courses. The fairways are extremely wide, like the widest on tour. The greens are huge, so greens and regs shouldn't be an issue, but three-putt avoidance could be a problem. It's a very up and down, elevation changing, undulating golf course. It's a wild one. Like, there's a lot of blind shots that obviously these guys have played many times, so they know these shots, but it's a wild one, but a very gettable one, as we know from experience. You can let her rip because the rough is usually not too penal, not too many problems you can get into out here, but like, you don't want to be spraying it everywhere, but you can get away with it. Most of the par fours are less than 425, 430 yards, so not the longest of stuff, but they have a couple long par fours that correlate. There's a 550 yard par four 17, a 522 yard par four seventh, so, and a 520 yard par four first, so three par fours over 500. But not that big a deal considering it's the elevation changes and whatnot. They'll get roll out. As we remember, this is one of the courses DJ nearly drove and got a hole in one on a par four. The wind helped him a bit, but he still just smoked that thing and it rolled for days. So you got those going for you. The par fives are extremely gettable. Three of them are 550 yards or less. The fourth one, the par five 18th, is 677. Again, elevation changes.
Straight downhill.
Yeah, you can get to like all of these in two for the most part. So, moral of the story is you want to crush the par fives. If you look at them, the par five fifth had a nearly 60% birdie rate. The par five ninth had nearly a 50% birdie rate. The par five 15th had a nearly 47%. And the par five 18th still had like a 43%. So you need to birdie those holes and then take advantage of the rest. For the most part, wedges, short irons in, approach game will be key because the greens are so big. You want to at least give yourself a chance at those makeable birdie putts. What kind of stats you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, par five scoring, like you said, is important. Birdie or better, obviously, because you have to go low. If you look at the most of the winners to get to at least 20 under, there's that really just kind of that one odd year in the last six where JT won at 14 under.
It was super windy.
Yeah. And then strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, I think, are important as well.
Yeah, I did a... For my little model, I did par five scoring, birdie or better, par fours, 4 to 450. I just did 3-putt avoidances to kind of see who really struggles with if on these bigger greens, and then DK scoring because it is a no cut event. So we got to remember that guys could have some blow up holes, but maybe they go out and eagle a couple par fives here and there, and they just start racking up the points, and some of these guys crush it. For my model, I didn't make it for no cut only, but I looked at it real quick, like DraftKings scoring, and you could just look at who's won. JT crushes, Spieth does well. Like, there's a couple guys that just crush these no-cut events. I also didn't do it because there's some guys in this field that wouldn't have been on the model because they've never been in a no-cut event, because that's just the way things roll. So before we get into the picks, let's check out FanShareSports.com. Again, they are partnering up with us just for S's and giggles. Code ALWAYSPRESS for 20% off the promo package of your choice. Last six events, because it's been so long, so I want to use this recent form so much, but last six events on Bermuda greens, DK scoring, Sammy Burns leads the way, followed by JT, Bryson DeChambeau, Abraham Answer, and Siwoo Kim. And then just for fun, if you want to do last six events in Hawaii, DK scoring, because you got Century and they got the Sony next week, both pretty gettable golf courses. Spieth leads the way, followed by JT, John Rahm, Mark Leishman, and then Morikawa are your top five there as well. So the big dogs are here, as you'd expect, some of the best of the best. So let's get into our DK picks of the week, Jesse, all 39 golfers, starting out 10K and above. John Rahm, $11,000. Morikawa, 10.8. JT, 10.6. DeChambeau at 10.2. Victor Hovland, $10,000. And Victor, by the way, as of this recording, is still waiting on his golf clubs that are stuck in Seattle.
Yeah, I saw that actually. It was on his Instagram or yep. Snapchat or something. For me, it's kind of John Rahm and everybody else in this field, especially from just my model. It just loves John Rahm. I don't think he will go under owned by any means. I think, you know, a lot of people will click on him and figure it out from there. I kind of want to click on JT's name. I feel like this, obviously JT's a two-time champion here, but the guy in between who's finished seventh here in two years in a row is Colin Morikawa. And I think that Rahm and JT will get a lot of the ownership up top here, and Morikawa will be kind of your more under the radar type of guy. And when I say under the radar, I'm not talking like less than 10% owned, but like maybe less than 20% owned. And if he wins, then that gives you some leverage there. So for me up top here, it's just the top two. But like I said, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that none of the other three can win. Those are just kind of my way of thinking. Just Rahm from strictly stats perspective, he's head and shoulders above everybody else here. And then Morikawa from just a little bit of the ownership perspective there.
Yeah, ownership will be fun this week. Like you can't fade all the chalk. It's just not possible because you need to have the winners, as we talked about before, on no-cut events. And just looking at Fantasy Nationals projected ownership for now, most of the differentiation you can make comes in the sevens and sixes, because 9K and above are all 24% or higher except Victor Hovland, which shocks me actually. So they're all chalky with Schauffele, who we'll get to in the next range, and JT both over 30%. So like, if you want to avoid the massive chalk, you don't play JT. The dude is lights out. He's going to be popular. I'm not going to make a ton of lineups this week. I'm going to save my 20 max for next week on a cut event. So I might not have any JT on like my 3 max. I might just say, screw it. I'm going to roll with it. And if he doesn't hit, he doesn't hit. So be it. He's going to be great here. There's not a whole lot you have to say about Justin Thomas. The history speaks for itself. But I'm with you. My model, my eyes, everything you see, John Rahm's that guy. He's that darn good. You could easily fit him in here because all these guys, even there's some really solid 6K options. I love John Rahm, 100% with you on that. I'm surprised that Bryson's so popular just because early stuff, I was reading everything yesterday, most people were off of him. So I don't know if this is a, hey, people are off, let's like click the buttons and pick him now, compared to like we've talked about before. It's like, oh, everyone's on him. Then he comes in like 12%. So it's like the opposite effect. I wonder how that's going to be. I like the idea of Bryson, but not a chalky Bryson. So it's pretty much just John Rahm from here. You could 100% make a case for any of these golfers. I would, if Vic Hovland does keep coming in at this like 16 to 17%, which is 78% lower than the rest of the pack, I'm intrigued at $10,000. I don't care if he doesn't have the clubs or not. I'm not worried about that one bit. That dude we know can go low. So I'm quite curious about playing the ownership game with him. 9K, which if you're a regular listener, is a place that Jesse and I love to live in, but there's only three guys this week. A little different. Got Cantlay at 97, Xander at 95, and Burns at 91. All pretty popular this week.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably going to be where a lot of guys who are highly owned are. My computer logged up on me, so you start, and then once I'm able to get logged back in here, then...
No problem. It's going to be very popular for two reasons. A, they're all really good golfers. Like Patrick Cantlay rates out phenomenally, finished the season great in the FedEx Cup, won the FedEx Cup, won a couple tournaments, playing great golf. So he rates out with whatever model you use, he's going to rate out well, and he should play well here. You look at his past events history here, 13th, 4th, 15th, not too shabby. And then you got Xander, 5th, 2nd, 1st, 22nd, last 4 years at this tournament. So he's another guy that's going to check a lot of the boxes here. He's only in this event because he won the Olympics. So they made an exemption for him, basically. But both those guys will be popular. I lean a little more towards Sam Burns. He's 4th in my model. He's 4th in birdie or better in the last 24 rounds. 5th in the par 4s, 4 to 450. 3rd in 3-putt avoidance. 6th in DK scoring. He's basically a top 10 machine in most of the categories I'm looking at. in this tournament. The only thing is he's going to be popular too. Like all these guys are projected for 24 to 31% ownership. So you just got to kind of play that game. Do you want to try it? Do you not want to try it? That's the question. But I like Sam Burns the most in this range. The other reason why these guys are going to be so popular is if you play anybody in the 10K, especially if you're a JT guy or whatever, you can go a 10K guy, a 9K guy, and still put a pretty fun-looking lineup together, and that'll make it happen. So it's like if you just want to go, screw it, I'm not playing the 9K range, you can do that. It's totally kind of an interesting thing. But I like Sam Burns for now. I'll have to play the game. But like I said, just play the chalk up top if you want and then get different elsewhere. So you back?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, kind of. I'm just going to have to, I guess, just wing it here off the old phone. Cantlay was a guy who I had highlighted coming off the last time he played was the Tour Championship, at least that I've got on record here. And, you know, just from a stats perspective, he's played pretty well. Sam Burns hasn't finished outside the top 20 since August.
Yep. He's been playing really good golf.
And, you know, one of the things I've been thinking about, I haven't told you this yet, but I've been thinking about riding again this year.
Ooh, that got me all excited.
And a lot of that is just for my own benefit.
It helps.
It does help for sure.
It helps me in like football and stuff. Like, I'm not kidding, man. It's a game changer.
No, I totally get it. But Sam Burns, just one of my rules of thumb typically is not to fade the hot golfer. And he just seems to be the hottest guy coming in here. So I agree with you. I mean, like, it's just hard. This is one of those weeks though, where, especially if you're playing a bunch of lineups, I wouldn't worry about ownership too much. I mean, if you're just single entry or three max in, that's where you can kind of start to get a little bit cute. But I mean, if I'm playing a bunch of lineups, I'm definitely putting Sam Burns on plenty of them.
And you made a good point there. Like, there's been such a time off, but since the last, since the tour final, plus the fall swing we saw, like, you know, the Fortnite and all those tournaments, Burns played in most of those fall swings. Unlike a lot of these other guys who kind of sprinkled in events here and there, played a little bit in Europe, maybe played in the challenge or something. Burns played a lot of those fall events. So he kept his form. These guys are great, so they could easily take a month off and go hit the range, and I wouldn't be worried about them. But I do agree, playing that hot hand, how he's doing. It's his first time here. No first-time winner. I think it's one since like 08 when Chopper won was what I was hearing. I think Burns is a little different than Chopper. Let's put it that way. But I'm with you on that. Don't fade it and roll that one for sure. 8K range. We got Spieth. He's down. I'm actually surprised Spieth's at $8,900 with the year he just had. Really surprised by this price point. Hideki's at 87, Brooks 85, Berger 84, Cam Smith 83, Sungjae 82, Answer 81, Finau 8,000. Now it starts to get a little more interesting.
Yeah. You go ahead.
All right. For me, in this range, I love Cam Smith. He's third in my model. He's second in approach, fourth in par fives, third in birdie or better, first in opportunities gained, sixth in three-putt avoidance, ninth in DK scoring. We know he plays very well in Hawaii. He's going to be very, very popular. Just keep that in mind because I've heard his name everywhere. He's projected to be 32% rostered. He's just behind JT right now. So that's a big bummer for me. I love Cam Smith this week. Big Cam Smith fan, but if you need to fade, you can. Spieth will be very popular. He's got great history here. He didn't finish up super strong in the fall, but we know he loves to play here, so you don't count him out. But for me, your contrarian play would be Hideki, because a lot of people just fade him in general, especially when you got Burns and Spieth right above him. Then you got like Smith and stuff right below him. So Hideki's quite interesting. I also think Daniel Berger, he's 12th in my model. Plays really good on Bermuda, 10th in par four scoring. He could be another kind of lower rostered player you could look at. And then Sungjae Im would be another guy I'd look at. Last thing I'd mention, though, if we're just looking at DK scoring, he hasn't shown it much in last season as a whole, but he did get that W. That's why he's here. And we know in no-cut events, Tony Finau is a DK scoring monster. So if you want to get him at $8,000, you can. Looking early on here at ownership, he's actually one of the lower owned guys at 14%, which is low in this event, at least projected wise. So he's a guy to think about. He finished T31 here last year, T9 back in 2017. Obviously, he hasn't won much, so he can't do that. But he could be an intriguing one if you need to go that direction. What about you?
My computer just told me it's low on memory, so maybe that's why it's just absolutely just going just insane right now. Guys I had checked off here, Jordan Spieth, Brooks as well. I think just the kind of momentum off of the beatdown he put on Bryson will kind of catapult him. And then also, yeah, Sungjae. I'm on Sungjae as well. I like those three in this range. I do like Cam Smith. I hate to play him, especially in single entry, which or three entry max, which is all I do. I hate to play him, but I just feel like obviously the wind factor, it's going to be windy. It's Hawaii. And then he's been playing well recently. So I do like Cam Smith as well.
Yep. Popular Cammy Smith, which is rough, but yeah, Sungjae is the interesting one because if he can just putt, he'll be lighting up the boards. He's a DK monster birdie machine.
Yeah.
Definitely a guy to look at with Sungjae. I like that one quite a bit. 7K range. You got Patty Reed at 79 come limping into this event, but he's played well here before. And you never count him out. You got Harris English, the defending champion at 78. Kokrak at 77. Gooch at 76. Leishman, 75. Then we dropped to Na at 71, a $400 drop. Don't see that every day. And then Billy Ho at 7,000. A couple thoughts I have here. If you want to go Paddy Reed, you can't. He doesn't rank well for me, but that's because he was playing horrible to end the season. You never know. You can get him at some very low ownership and could sneak in there. I love Gooch. He's second in my model, seventh in birdie or better, fourth in par five, first in DK scoring the last 24 rounds. I like Taylor Gooch a ton at 76. So he's a guy I wouldn't mind looking at. If it is going to be windy, Leishman's a great play at $7,500. Like he is the Aussie factor. He's fifth in opportunities gained, 11th in DK scoring, 12th in birdie or better. He could be a guy that you could get some low roster rates on as well. And then the one I'm going to mention because I expected the model to be better, and then I went back and thought Billy Ho played like the last four or five events in Europe. That's why he's not rating out well in this model, because he tore it up in Europe. He played great, even won an event in Europe. So he's 29th in my model at 39 golfers, but he's actually playing really, really good golf. He's $7,000 at this event, T24, T25, T11. And the reason I think he's an interesting tournament play is he's projected to be 8.5% owned, which now we're getting into the fun ways to differentiate your lineup. And anybody that uses just a builder like I do, a lot of fantasy nationals, or I don't know what yours looks like over there, but Billy Ho is not going to rate out as well as people think he's actually playing right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The two that I have checked off here, English and Gooch, I like both those guys. I like your call on Leishman, though. The other thing about Leishman is he always goes under-owned. What's the projection currently for Leishman?
On Leish, he's actually 22%. Someone talked him up.
Yeah, or else a lot of people are just clicking him up. I'm assuming you're looking at Fantasy National.
Yeah, right? Fantasy. Yeah. Gooch is the most popular.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like Gooch quite a bit. I think Harris English coming off the win last year, too. He had obviously a great year. Is very playable. And that's, I mean, the other rest of these guys are good GPP plays, obviously, Kokrak and Reed. I could see either one of them contending for the win as well.
Yeah, in the 8 and 7K range, like just on the projected ownership, Anser, Finau, English, and Billy Ho, you could cherry pick those, and the rest of your lineup would be rather unique for the most part. 6K range, now it gets a little crowded, but another place to differentiate if you so choose. You got Siwoo, Cam Champ, Max Homa, Seamus Power, Phil Mickelson, Garrett Higo, Brendan Grace, Cam Davis, Lucas Hebert, EVR, Joel Dahman, Kiz, Glover, Sink, Matty Jones, and KH Lee. I only have a couple I'm looking at here. I like Seamus Power rates out really well, 8th in my model, 6th in par 5 scoring, 1st in par 4s, 4 to 450 over the last 24 rounds. So I like him at 6,600. Joel Dahman, 10th in my model. He's a DK machine. He's only 12th here, but birdie or better, 9th. Ops gains, 9th. Par 4, 4 to 450, 9th. Very solid driver of the golf ball. He's 6,100. Those would be two of the guys I could look at. KH Lee's always interesting on Bermuda. That's just one thing I'll mention. He can get going from time to time. You can make arguments for a bunch of these guys probably, but I'm going to kind of try to narrow it down to Seamus and Joel Dahman for now if I can. So what interests you?
Yeah, if you're playing large field, I mean, the guy I would look at is Cameron Champ, just simply the off-the-tee game. Traditionally, if you look at the guys who've won around here, especially recently, they're very good off the tee, JT, DJ, who won last year? Harris English.
Harris English, yeah.
And then Cameron Davis, man, just for whatever reason, model likes him at 6,200. Another guy who's long off the tee. And obviously, that's like I just was talking about with Cam Champ there. It's going to bode well. He's played well of late, is, you know, coming off a couple of miscuts, but, you know, this is, that's, I don't really worry about miscuts in this type of event. It's just swing free and fucking relax and hang loose, man.
Yeah, I don't mind that with Cam Davis. Like you said, there's definitely something to be said about that. One of the guys that kind of interests me, just because it's a no-cut event, but it could just be real fool's gold type situation. If you can be errant with the driver, Phil Mickelson's interesting because he's got a great approach game. But I don't love it by any means, but the only reason why I bring him up is if you look at projected ownership, he's one of the lowest projected guys here. So, well,
Phil also, when's the last time Phil played in this event?
He doesn't show up on my tournament history. It only goes back to 2017, but it's been a while.
I mean, it was probably before that, since the last time he won.
Well, he won, but he's run recently at Pebble, but he just doesn't go to Hawaii very often. But now he needs the FedEx points because he doesn't win as much anymore.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, I mean, you know, I think everybody in this field, like, you can make an argument for why not play Phil. If you're playing 150 lineups, I definitely agree with that. I'm looking at maybe 10% or something with Phil. Because like you said, he's going to be under-owned. And I mean, it's fucking Phil, man. He might finish dead last. Yep. He might finish second.
But even if he finishes dead last, you know he's going to have like a couple random eagles out there. He's going to have a birdie streak somewhere because it's just what Phil does. And at his price, like, he's not priced at 88 anymore, 92. He's 6,600. He doesn't have to break the bank for you.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it a little more intriguing to play him compared to other weeks. And he can't get cut. So it's like, let's throw on the freaking aviators. Let's drink his coffee, show off the calves, and hit some bombs. Like, I'm in. So
I'm with you.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Speaking of which, we didn't mention that, the match. What do you think about Phil on the mic?
That was great, man.
He needs to be on so much more.
I would seriously like not watch NFL football, and I would turn it over to golf if I knew Phil Mickelson was going to be calling the golf.
Even when Phil was on the Manning cast, he was awesome.
Oh, he was like, great on that.
Got something about him, man. Like,
I know his personality's. It's because he's so grandiose.
Yep.
He's a great listen.
Yep. He's not cocky or anything. It's freaking awesome. It's a fun one to listen to for sure. All right, let's recap things real quick. 10K range. Who is your top golfer?
I'm gonna say Rahm. I mean, it's kind of a bit of a bailout there, but
you can't go wrong. Like, most people are taking JT, they are, and I get it. I'm gonna go Rahm too. That's where I'm at. There's 3 9K golfers. Who's your favorite one?
Cantlay.
I'm gonna go Burns. Give me Burns. 8K range. Who you got?
Sungjae.
Man, I love Cam Smith. I'm not saying I'm going to go all in because of the chalkiness, but I'm going to say he is my favorite golfer in this range. Like, I love him in this one. 7K range.
Gooch.
Yep, I'm with Young Gooch. I'm with Young Gooch as well. And then 6K.
It is Cameron Davis.
I'm going to go with Seamus Power. I'm going to go Seamus. Dahman is quite intriguing though at 61, but the crappy thing is I did my model. I clicked on a couple guys to make sure I can get the ownership. The guys that rate out best in my model, chalkiest guys pretty much in the field.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets fun. So if you guys want to join the Fantasy Degens Discord, a lot of you guys are already in there. We used to be on Slack chat. We moved to Discord. I'll drop in ownership updates either tomorrow, Wednesday night, or even Thursday morning because we have a late start. So I can give you Thursday morning info if it makes you feel like switching things up a bit. You can feel more than welcome to do so. Last but not least, Jesse, I don't know if you have the accessibility with your computer to look at.
Pulled up, buddy.
Okay, cool. We got the DK Sportsbook. That's what we found that towards the end of last year, like a bunch of dum-dums. So much better than what we were using before.
We were the last podcast, especially golf podcast on Earth to switch
like
to DK Sportsbook.
Bunch of cavemen. It's like, it's freaking amazing. I've even had people, like, it's not available in California, but I've had people that like go and visit somewhere that they can use it. Like, oh my God, it's the best app ever. Dude, like all the betting options.
I was in Indiana for like a weekend playing golf last year, and we were sitting around watching some random football game, and dude was like, hey, you can bet on DK Sportsbook. And I was like, can I? And I log in. It's got my DK balance already moved over. Start betting live touchdowns. You know, whether or not they're going to score a touchdown on a drive, it's great, man.
and we did not get paid for any of this. It's just, it's that good of an app. It's smooth. It's user-friendly. Like, it's pretty awesome. So let's talk tournament here. Rom's the heavy favorite, seven and a half to one. It's actually gone down. He was like six when it opened. JT is at eight. That's gone up. So, or vice versa, gone up, gone down. Who are you liking this thing? Because your longest odds would be Stugoat at plus 200, but I don't think we're going there.
No, I definitely wouldn't go there. Something like maybe a top five on Cam Davis, 1400, and then even a top 10 on him at plus 450. I don't mind. As far as winning goes, you know, Harris English, he won last year 35-1 currently. I mean, somehow Taylor Gooch is the same odds
as him. Crazy.
I don't necessarily understand that. And then you got Burns at 18, not terrible.
Yeah, I like Burns at 18, I like Berger at 20.
Because, I mean, you could, like, if you wanted to avoid Sam Burns on DK, you just maybe bet him to win or to five or top 10.
Even top 10 at plus 125 is not the greatest of odds, but it's positive odds. Like, let's roll. Yeah. Like, right. Spieth at plus 130 for top 10, I like that.
Yeah, I could see that as well.
With his past history here, obviously it's golf and anything can happen, but plus 130, even plus 330 to top five or for top five for speed, that's very intriguing. Very, very intriguing as an option. It goes to show you, Brooks is way down there compared to his DK price. The books don't believe that that Brooks is here to play.
And Leishman's way up compared to his DK price.
That's one thing that we don't talk about it a ton, but it is an angle that you can look at the price changes. And we talked about Leishman being kind of a contrarian play. It could be a nice little angle because if the books are seeing something, is it always the truth? No, but it's definitely a fun way to go. I think this is a great tournament for in round, like round to round, head to head, like round two, round three, head to head, stuff like that, because you can see which guys kind of want to play, don't. But then again, these guys can go low on any given day. So who knows what they're going to do. The last thing I'll look at, I pulled up the top 20s, which aren't great, but you could go get like Phil or Lucas or KH Lee at plus 120, plus 130, if you want to just goof off a little bit.
Nothing another little bet, man. Phil Mickelson, 55-1 to be the first round leader.
That's interesting because he definitely gets hot.
I so can see him coming out and busting it the first day, and then
before he gets tired or something, walking through all those. Like, that's not a bad call. That's really not a bad call at all. That's where you get like KH Lee's good at that. He's 65-1. He's great at those first round numbers. So I like that. Like a KH Lee, a Phil Mickelson, some long shot first rounders. I think that's very intriguing for sure. I like that a lot, actually. So if you guys want to have some fun with that, check it out. If not, don't. But again, join us in the Discord. Lots of fun there. The guys are active right now with football, of course, and basketball, and some guys are doing hockey, and we have prize picks over there. The golf prize picks, they've been slowly getting better towards the end of last year. I really hope they get better because it's a great platform, but golf isn't the best on that platform. So I'd like to see that adjust as well. But if you have any questions or any final – we've talked strategy for no cut so many times. Do you have any final thoughts on that or anything?
I don't, man. This is a week to – like, it gets super exciting to get into golf this week, but – and it's fun to watch it in the evening, but from like a DK perspective it sucks. That's why, like, I tweeted out, man, I think this was a great opportunity for them to bring out the captain mode, which for whatever reason we don't get.
It'd be perfect. We've been saying that forever. Bring the captain mode out for golf, especially on these no cut events, especially no cut. Like the no cut.
I mean, I don't have to have it for next week. You don't need it. I don't care, except for on like in round, especially like second half in round, like, but either way, I don't have to have it every tournament. I don't,
The showdown should have it for sure, and they don't.
You don't think that they'll feel? I mean,
they don't worry right now because the NFL is going on, they don't care about
they don't worry else. About anything,
they don't care about anything else. The entire year, no one wants to hear like about this. The entire year, the baseball content was contests were horrible, the entire year, like the worst it's ever been. They did not care so. They're focused, like you said, NFTs and football. And we can see other stocks doing just fine. But we'll wrap.
Been hammered.
Yeah, it's hemorrhaging.
Yeah,
But we'll wrap it up there. Again, a quickie to get you ready for the season. We'll be back next week with the Sony Open, which is fun, about 130-ish golfers, give or take. This is the time of year where you get a little bit smaller fields. You get multiple golf courses. You get all kinds of goofy stuff. But we get cut events, and we're back, which is awesome. It'll be fun, like Jesse said, to get primetime golf. So like I get to come into my office and do podcasts and stuff on my computer and watch golf, which is freaking awesome. So I'm a big fan of that, and everybody else can enjoy it at home at their leisure. But if you have any questions, again, hit us up on the Discord. If you need an invite, just let us know. We'll get you in there. It's super easy. But check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Intric. The podcast at Always Press DFS. And we'll catch you guys next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.